I want you to look again this morning, a very familiar text, as you know, concerning the Antichrist in the last days. And I want you to take note in particular, as we look at it, at the word delusion. Verse 11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Now, of course, the word delusion, you know, that's just one of those words in the English language that nobody wants to own for themselves. Nobody wants to be called or considered delusional, right? Or deluded. It's just one of those indignities that points to a really bad place, after all. If you're uneducated, okay, that's one thing. You just go get an education, right? So long as it's not at the U of Miami. I'm just kidding. If someone says, "You're chubby," no big deal. You just lose weight. Or be like me and accept it. Fat, dumb, and happy. Amen? There are just a lot of pejoratives. There's a lot of insults and conditions that are just no big deal. However, if someone's delusional, right? If somebody completely and unreservedly believes a lie, typically an unreasonable and an unrealistic lie, then they're really worse than a conspiracy theorist. You see, the word Paul uses here is a spiritual word. It is believing a lie in place of the truth. It's being delusional about things that matter, not just here and now, but for all of eternity. And since this word is applied to the entire world at the time of the Antichrist, at the end of the world, what it actually says in verse 11 is what? Strong. It's a strong delusion. And then to add to the power and the weight of this condition and of this word, it says also that it is God who sends the strong delusion. And by the way, if you understand the teaching in Romans 1 and elsewhere, you realize that God is not manufacturing a lie here. He doesn't have to. God's not deceiving people himself. God cannot lie. What he will do is give those who have rejected clear truth exactly what they want. A big, strong delusion. So that no longer will they just repeat a lie. No longer will they just wish for the lie or deceive others with a lie. No longer will they merely use a lie for political or personal reasons. One day they will actually believe the lie and believe it completely. You know, a lot of leaders today don't actually believe their own lies about abortion when life begins. Their own lies about socialism or gender or evolution or world peace by disarming everything. They don't really believe that. But imagine if they did. Imagine if everybody did. You understand that what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago is not sitting there in the pages of our scripture to help people someday, 2,000 years off in the future. These truths are not just for a handful of tribulation saints or to satisfy our own little curiosity. They are here for us and for our understanding and our edification. So, the beloved, we need these truths. So I hope you listen very carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject, strong delusion. Father in heaven, thank you for your word today. And in a place and in a time and in a world that is beginning to embrace every delusion of man, help us to understand the glory and the power of the truths of your word. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We said a moment ago that the word delusion is unique in the English language because it's so negative, right? It is so heavy with insult that nobody wants any part of it. Nobody wants to be called delusional. And indeed, there's only one other time in all of the Bible where this same word is used. And guess what? In the same way that delusion is a judgment of God, in this text, it is also a divine judgment. And the one other instance in all of the Bible where that same word is used. I'm going to read it to you. "Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. That's Isaiah 66. In other words, they chose and God chose. In verse 12 of our text, you'll notice it says that the delusions are for those who, quote, believe not the truth. Now follow this carefully. Webster defines a delusion as this: abnormal mental state characterized by that which is falsely believed. In other words, delusion is believing in something that's just blatantly false. It is irrational belief or irrational unbelief, and so much so that the people who are not delusional around them, they're baffled. They scratch their heads. In fact, the words deluded and ludicrous come from the same root. And sure enough, beloved, some people and nations are so deluded and are so ludicrous that Psalm 2:4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." Now, folks, hear me. It's not that God is making fun of them. It is rather that the delusions are a mockery. They're absolutely ridiculous, what people, the lies that people will believe. It brings me this morning to three things I want us to remember concerning the delusions of men. Understanding, as we noted, that there is a reason for all of this revelation in these last days for us, all of us as God's people. The first thing you'll notice, number one, is the delusion of man's potential. Chapter 2 again, look at it, would you? Notice verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, folks, I want you to hear this carefully, because I want to remind you, we're not going to get in a big doctrinal study of this, but I will remind you of who the Antichrist is supposed to be and will claim to be. He is the ultimate man. Yes, he's worshipped, but only as man's highest achievement. And of course, hear this. This final picture we see here in Scripture is the ultimate progression. You hear a lot about progressives, right? They have a mindset. This is the ultimate progression of human potential and advancement. It is the world finally without God. Yes, and that's at the end. However, hear this. The march to that final picture has already begun. See verse 7? "This mystery of iniquity doth already work." That was Paul writing 2,000 years ago. It's already on the march. In other words, look, it's not that mysterious as to what the strong delusion is. Oh my goodness, I've read so many books and sermons and pamphlets about their idea. I know what the strong delusion is going to be. It's not a big mystery. It's really like the number of the Antichrist himself and the beast. People get all worked up over the meaning and the message of 666, but it is no mystery because God clearly tells us exactly what it is. He said in Revelation 13:18, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of a beast." Go to a supercomputer, punch in all these ideas, and no, that's not what it says. Here is wisdom. If you want to count the number of the beast, here it is. "For it is the number of a man." His number, not an angel, not a god, not a demon, a man. His number is 666. You see, God created man on the sixth day so that the triple six emphasizes that man always falls short of his potential without God, because he did not enter into the seventh day of God's rest. You see, beloved, listen, the strong delusion at the end is merely the culmination of the growing delusion of right now. It is the same delusion of man and his amazing potential and power. The idea that man is smarter than God and does not need God. That is a delusion from before that text in Isaiah. That text I read in Isaiah, here's what it says just before that. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and contrite in spirit, that trembleth at my word. They have chosen their own ways. I also will choose their delusions. I love to use the illustration, as most of you know, of the RMS Titanic. And for a very important reason. On April the 14th, 1912, our world was in awe at man's fulfilled potential. Because mankind made one of its greatest, most publicized achievements. Man had engineered and then built the largest moving object in existence. 882 feet of luxurious engineered beauty. The Titanic was named after Titan. Titan, of course, the race of gods in Greek mythology, and they ruled during the so-called Golden Age. The construction was funded by an American man by the name of J.P. Morgan, who thought that man's potential could reach its highest pinnacle at that time. He wanted a luxury ship to prove it that was truly, he said, luxurious. And so it had the best telephone system of the day and the best library and the best swimming pools and the best Turkish baths and the best squash courts and the best veranda cafes and all it went. It was a marvel of beauty, but also of engineering. It was the White Star Line, remember? The White Star Line famously billed that Titanic as, quote, unsinkable months before she ever embarked. 3,000 men worked for 2 years to build the Titanic at a cost in 1912 of a staggering $7.5 million. It'd be $1 billion today. Back in April 2012 was the 100th anniversary of the famous claim that the Titanic was so marvelously designed by man that not even God could sink that ship. And of course, all that luxurious liner ever did was sink on its very first journey. In other words, instead of being a monument to man's potential as it was supposed to be, and all over the world was the pride of what man could achieve on his own. For 108 years, it's now rusted at the bottom of the ocean as a reminder of man's pride. And you know, the amazing thing is, as we've begun this new 21st century, what began, Vance Havner considered it a wake-up call to man's delusions. When he was a young preacher preaching the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, has become man's greatest delusion, the delusion of his own potential, and it's becoming the delusion of God's choice. Why? Because, beloved, man believes more than ever before. But you look around, as Brother Terry just mentioned a moment ago, a lack of peace in our society. You look around, man believes in his power and his potential. And look what we've done since 1912. Why, we've landed on the moon. We've transplanted hearts and lungs and cloned animals and created supercomputers and conquered polio. So many amazing and great accomplishments and advances. That's so true. But since the Titanic, we've also committed genocide, infanticide, unspeakable perversion. We have our own selves generated diseases that we can't control, tortured and killed, millions of Jews and millions of Chinese and millions of Russians and millions of Africans and millions of Cambodians. We have propagated in this world the greatest delusion of the 21st or any century, and that is the great delusion of evolution. So think about this for a moment. Since that one great delusion, just before the building of the Titanic, from now on until Jesus comes again, every generation of young people in the entire face of the earth will be taught that Genesis is a myth and evolution is a fact. Will be taught that God is not God, and science, untold, proves it. We have devalued life in our century to the degree that 40 million little babies in America alone have been legally put to death. You wonder why young people, and especially in our cities, do not value life and don't think twice about taking someone else's life? And the hand-wringing of politicians and what are we going to do about our inner cities and what are we going to do about crime and violence and how people just casually take away another person's life when all the while they're the ones who are putting in our Constitution and changing it and perverting it to say that that little baby at 9 months of age is not a life. Right. This generation born under a system that legitimizes killing. Man's potential without God is a delusion. Reality is what we read earlier in Isaiah. To this man will I look, God says, to a man of a poor and contrite spirit. Not man when he's prideful, looking at his own potential. He's but that man that trembleth at my word. I wonder this morning, can I ask you, what do you tremble at? Put another way, what impresses you? You young people in this room. What impresses you? What affects you? What moves you? Man's wisdom or God's word? Just how humble are our hearts before our God right now? The delusion of man's potential, the second thing I want you to notice, number two, is the delusion of man's peace. 2 Thessalonians again, I want you to look at chapter 1. Paul begins this great text in verse 4 by saying, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith. In all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. I'm going to ask you a question. What's he talking about? The churches of God, the humble saints, the men, the women, the children who put their sincere faith in the Lord Jesus. What are they enduring, the last word of verse 4? Their persecutions, their tribulations. Look at verse 3, 5, I should say. Which is a manifest, obvious token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Suffer? Chapter 3 and verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. What kind of men take young virgin girls, cover them in tar, and then light them on fire to light their parties, as Nero did? The great human peacekeepers and peacemakers. It was at the turn of this last century that civilized society all but guaranteed the end of war, disease, famine. Man is supposedly then at the brink of this beautiful man-made belief system called humanism. Even religion was full of this humanism and was becoming respectable in intelligentsia. Because man had finally reached the promise of the age of enlightenment. And by igniting this fire of man's great peacemaking, all they really did was ignore the real contribution of Christians, missionaries, and God's word. And because God's word and the gospel was changing lives, the world thought it was getting better because of its own. Mankind was becoming more intelligent, more refined, more dignified, more peaceful. Which is what false religion has propagated for centuries. and what some people, many people, believe today. But I'm going to tell you something. You hear this. That's all a delusion. Every time you hear man talk about peace, peace, recognize that when it comes from man, it's a delusion. It is a delusion of man to believe that sin in the flesh, the carnal nature, is not present with every unregenerate person. In other words, the idea that man is so good, he's inherently good and noble and peaceful and is born that way, is a complete lie. You have to be delusional to believe it. But it's the very delusion that thousands of pastors are standing behind their pulpits in robes and on television lying to people about every single day. And the truth is, all it takes to prove that it's a lie is let a major city have a blackout, a recession. Let a family receive an inheritance, a winning lotto number. All it takes is a lawsuit, a divorce, a war, a pandemic. Forget a pandemic. All it really takes is an epidemic. Beloved, listen. Mankind is no more kind and no more advanced today than he was 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this text and God's people were being murdered and killed for sport. You say, but Pastor, that can't be true because we have more programs and children's homes and hospitals and universities than any time in history. You're right. We have some wonderful health clinics and hospices and hospitals in this nation. But I want to remind you what comes into the emergency rooms of those hospitals. For those months when we were at St. Mary's and we had to pull into the back of the emergency room area anytime after hours. And you had to check in, you know, the back part of the St. Mary's Hospital where all the emergencies came in, the ER. And almost every time I went in there, there'd be blood on the ground trailing somewhere. And it was a beating of some man, a little child, or a wife. It was a shooting. It was a turnstile of violence. Of course we have wonderful hospitals. But the trauma and the bloodshed and the violence, the drunkenness, the assault, the abuse, the perversion that keeps those emergency rooms and those ICUs busy. You know, I can appreciate the presence of a Baptist hospital, a Presbyterian medical center, a Methodist hospital, a St. Mary's. I can appreciate that, and I do. But folks, don't forget that just last Thursday, just a few days ago, federal marshals rescued 39 missing children just in the state of Georgia. Just a few days ago, the FBI came in 40 kids imprisoned in one state in our country for sex trafficking, and that's just a drop in the bucket just in the state of Georgia. Unspeakable evil. It's called Operation Not Forgotten. That's the unit, the FBI unit's name. To me, it's ironic because they're already forgotten. They're constantly forgotten. You want delusion. After 80 years of education and outrage over the Holocaust and the cries of men and governments who kept saying and still say, and there's a museum that's based on the words never again, it just keeps happening again and again. Never again. In Rwanda, the Sudan, Pol Pot in Cambodia, 2.5 million in the killing fields. And really, there was no universal outcry over the bloodshed of communism. Let me tell you something. There's no universal outcry right now over the bloodshed of communism. If anything, in this deluded country, there's a cry to bring it here. I'll tell you what. If the United Nations cannot get outraged over China building a brand new concentration camp in 2020, or the atrocities going on in North Korea right now in 2020, or the horrors of what's happening in Venezuela to people right now in 2020, what's left? Mark it down, beloved. Man's peace, so-called, is a delusion. A.H. Pynchon was one of 11 millionaires that survived the sinking of the Titanic. He said that one of the most disheartening things he had ever seen in his life and would take to his grave was the absolute greed of so many people in the face of death and loss. How people, knowing that the ship was sinking and people around them were dying and falling off, were running to cabins and stuffing themselves with gold and silver and jewels, which only made them sink faster. But he said, watching that, he said he himself left behind $300,000 in gold and jewelry on that ship. Because instead of grabbing any gold, he grabbed in each hand, he said, an orange. Quote, he said, to even think of money during the plight of so many was a crude, vain imagination. And yet, sadly, money was exactly what a lot of folks thought about instead of people's lives. There's this delusion of man's peace. The Bible says in Revelation that when the tribulation period comes, that even in the midst of all of that, man will not repent and humble himself before God. On the contrary, he will shake his fist at God's power and determine to destroy everything before bowing his knee. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. Do you know where and why believers have peace today? I'm not saying that nobody on earth has peace. I'm saying that man without God does. But do you know why? Do you know why there are folks in this room and folks listening right now who have a supernatural peace in their heart? Not fretting, not worrying. It's not a fake peace. It's not a pill that you take in the morning or at night. It's not something you smoke. Chapter 3 of our text, verse 16, it says, now the Lord of peace himself. See, there is a Prince of Peace, and it's not the Antichrist. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you. There's the source of our peace. You've heard me mention, maybe recently, I don't know, but UN building. The United Nations building right now has a gift from the old Soviet Union. It's in the garden as you enter. And it's a big sculpture that says, let us beat our swords into plowshares. And there's a picture of a man hammering a sword into a plow. See, that's the world's idea of peace. Let's all do this. That line, as a gift from the old Soviet Union, is actually a quotation from Isaiah 2:4. What's convenient for them is they left out the first part of the quotation. Because the whole verse says, he, Jesus, shall judge between the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. There will never be peace without the Prince of Peace. That's why some in this room have peace. That's why some of you listening have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. The delusion of man's potential. If you're one of these parents or grandparents that just love telling your kids that they're awesome, that they're amazing, that they can do anything they want, what the mind believes the mind can achieve, you're setting them up to believe a lie. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The delusion of man's potential. Number two, the delusion of man's peace. Finally, number three, you'll notice a delusion of man's protection. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked, notice it's capitalized, that's a man, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and to destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, wait a minute. The Lord is simply going to use his words. This is the man who's bringing peace to the world, and the world believes it. This is the fake Prince of Peace. But he's bringing wickedness and darkness, and he himself will be destroyed. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure, here it is, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Their security, their safety, their protection was, and it is now, a delusion. You know, they said the Titanic was unsinkable, remember? It was supposedly not only the safest boat ever in existence, but the safest in all of human history. In fact, it was so safe and so secure that hundreds of the 15 and 103 people that perished in those icy waters did so because they refused to get into a lifeboat. There was an empty lifeboat in front of them, but hundreds said, "Nope, not me." And it wasn't bravery. It was because, after all, we're on the Titanic. This is the safest boat in history. It can't sink. And while I have obviously never seen Hollywood's phony interpretation of the Titanic with its sappy script intended for 14-year-old girls, I do realize that any story about the Titanic resonates with man, because man has this fear of insecurity, this realization that this world is not very safe, and he thrives on some kind of protection. Man thinks that he can mask and social distance himself into protection. Is there anything more ludicrous than that today? There are 1,001 ways to die tomorrow. We are just soft tissue. And man thinks that with these little protocols, he's walking around in some kind of protection. It'll take more than that. Man's protection is a delusion. When God says in Isaiah, "I will bring their fears upon them," he's asserting the fact that every man is beset with fear, namely the fear of death. You know, Ingersoll and Voltaire and Thomas Paine, you list the guy, the man or the woman, that's considered a paradigm of enlightened thought that changed the world's thinking into one of utopian, we can do this, we can build up a safe place. And every single one of these men and women that wrote these books in their youth, so full of pride and hubris, every single one of them, read their stories, they were terrified in their death. Terrified when they came to the end. And that's because man's protection is a delusion. It is a glorified fantasy. I'm not saying you don't wear a seatbelt in your car. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm not saying you don't take precautions with your children, grandchildren, yourself. I put a mask on when I got. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying, look, if you think that mankind is so able and smart and intelligent so as to protect himself with this man-made umbrella, it's a delusion. You had better just be ready to die. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being ready? With being able to say, like Paul said, those great three words, "I am ready. The time of my departure is at hand." You know, when some of the millionaires were told that the Titanic was sinking, you know what they did? They laughed. I mean, people literally came in and said, "Do you see the tilt in the boat? This ship is going to sink." And some of them actually laughed out loud. They just went right back to drinking and playing their cards, because guess what? They paid a fortune for that one-way fare. And you don't pay that kind of money for something that's not certain. That's man's delusion. When Princess Di perishes in a car crash because the guy was half drunk, nobody believes it. It has to be a conspiracy. There had to be thousands of people behind her death. No, it was just the most popular woman in the world dying because of one man's. When JFK was shot by one man who was a loser, nobody believes that. It has to be the Cubans and the Mafia and the FBI and the CIA and Johnson. Everybody had to do it because it's not possible that one man in Dallas who's a loser could take away the most powerful man on earth's life. Oh, it's possible. This protection, beloved, is a delusion in the mind of man. It's what people said about the Challenger. You know, you don't spend billions of dollars on a space shuttle that's not guaranteed, that's not certain and protected. You don't have thousands of scientists and engineers laboring on something that's not going to be for sure, right? But it wasn't sure. And it wasn't safe. The irony that one little O-ring leaked fuel, that fuel caught fire, became hot enough to melt, of all things, another thing named after Titan, titanium. In seconds, everyone who was secure perished. So they fixed it all and they got it right until Columbia. One little piece of ice falls on the way up and hits the exterior of the shuttle and leaves a tiny little hole. Tiny hole. That's all it took on reentry. All the billions of dollars, the best minds of man. There's a delusion of man's protection. The text in Isaiah, the Lord talks about those in Israel who, quote, sacrifice oxen and lambs and those who burn incense as offerings to God, but who did so to secure their soul and their lives. They were certain. They were smug. They were complacent. But what did God say? He said it was all idolatry and vain bloodshed because it was their own security blanket. It was man's salvation, but not God's. You know, this morning, beloved, and those listening, it would be extremely, extremely prudent for all of us this morning to remember that man trusting in man without God is a delusion. It's folly. It's an absolute false protection. And yes, it is included in the strong delusion that God will sin at the time of the Antichrist. It's just man trusting in man, the ultimate man on that day. As most of you know, a few weeks after the sinking of the Titanic, the city of Belfast gathered for a large memorial service. If it were today, it would be on CNN and Fox. It'd be televised nationally, worldwide. The people of Belfast had a tremendous amount of pride. All those months and years leading up before that tragedy, because it was engineered. It was built there in Belfast. But when it sank, not only did it completely devastate their pride, it devastated their spirit because scores of passengers and scores of the crew were from their own families, their family members and neighbors. Irish men and women. So they said it wasn't unusual at all in the streets of Belfast for two men to meet, grasp hands, and just burst into tears without saying a single word. It was just weeping over the entire city. The pastor who was asked to lead that large memorial service spoke on the subject, the unsinkable ship, from Mark chapter 4. But he reminded everybody that the unsinkable ship was not the one that the men built with all their brilliance and engineering. It was the rickety wooden boat on the Sea of Galilee where the Son of God was lying asleep. Unsinkable because Christ was with them. If you're here this morning and you do not know that you are saved, can I tell you something? Religion is a false protection. Good works That's a delusion as a shelter. Your sincerity that you build up in yourselves, I'm just so sincere, it's going to fall short. It's literally 666. It's a delusion. It's man-made. It's not God's rest. Man's hope in man, man's hope in himself is a delusion. And I would say to you this morning, if you're not saved, abandon that ship. Get off. But it is no delusion to trust in Christ and his word. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Christian, young person, why don't you decide today not to fall into the delusions of our society? The delusions of the 21st and every other century leading all the way up until when the Antichrist is on the scene and God sends them the strongest delusion of all. God help us not to embrace them. Our potential, our peace, and our protection. God has always said, to this man will I look. To this man, to this woman will I look. Even to him of a humble spirit who trembles at my word. Chapter 2, verse 16, and we'll close. Look at it. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. That's beautiful. And hath given us everlasting consolation. That's everlasting comfort and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do you know who he's talking to who has everlasting comfort and good hope through grace? He's talking to who says, comfort your hearts. The same ones in chapter 1, he said, were enduring persecution and tribulation and trials. Because you know what? Their faith had found a resting place. Not in device or creed. And we trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. This is why you have the promise of those two words, everlasting consolation. And it's why this morning Christians, believers in this society, running around like the blind leading the blind, not knowing what to do, when to do it, and where to do it. It's why believers, instead of being delusional, the Bible uses the word enlightened. You can see. And if you can't see, today is the day to say, Lord, open my eyes. Father, bless the invitation. We thank you for these who've asked for prayer. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have at every invitation time to hear and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we will. Bless this time, Lord, please. And for those who've asked for prayer, I pray you'll help them, strengthen them. For those listening elsewhere, Father, who are not saved, convict their hearts. Continue, Lord, to use us as instruments in your hand, this church. Take the gospel, the good news, the enlightening truth to those who are lost. We'll praise you for whatever's done in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.